Our scripture reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. That's Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, he being Jesus, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We are living in a time when there is a lot to harvest and few that are willing to labor. For a farmer, it takes work, hard work, to bring forth a good crop that has been planted. Right now, everyone wants to reap the benefits, but no one wants to sow into the labor. How many have learned the things you work for, usually you appreciate, and you appreciate them more? And again, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, but we must take it by force, meaning there is a work to it. This also means when you obtain it, you appreciate it. Mm-hmm. When you work for something, you learn the value of it. For example, if you give a child an allowance, they will spend it, give it away, and wait for the next pay. But when they get a job, when they actually work for it, they are not so quick to give it away or spend it on others. Notice I said spend it on others. We want to look at two words. And in these two words is our subject matter, harvest and labor. Harvest means the gathering in of a crop. The gathering in of a crop. We are being gathered in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. When things are gathered, it means they are brought together. When we are gathered, we are brought together to be developed and mature. Now, there can be three types of things in a field. That which is not ready to be picked, that which is ripe for picking, and that which is rotten. In John, Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." Those who are not ready, you can't force them to receive or be ready. But those that are seeking, this is the time to labor with them. Mm-hmm. Those that are hungry, this is a time to give them meat. Mm-hmm. We need those that are willing to put in the time and labor. Laborers are needed before people pass the time of being right to the time of being rotten. When the world and religions and false teachers get a hold of them, they will begin to spoil. When it's time for a farmer to harvest, he doesn't put it off. He gets up early in the morning that he may do and take care of that task. Mm-hmm. When God is asking us to labor, we should not be putting it off, but making ourselves ready. Labor means work. It means doing a specific task. We all have a task in the kingdom. Every one of us specializes in something. And it's something that no one else can do better than us. We all have something we can labor at. We are the laborers for the kingdom. Amen. We are the ones God is looking for to work and do his will. Jesus said this to his disciples, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Mm-hmm. Jesus is saying, "Father sent me to work, and I'm here to finish the work of God." We must complete the work that Jesus finished. Jesus laid the groundwork as needed. Now we must labor in what has been planted. Mm-hmm. The word has come and has been sown. People are receiving and need direction. You see, a farmer knows when his crop is ready. He spends time preparing it for harvest. Jesus has spent the needed time planting life in us. And in many, the harvest is white and ready. John 4 and 36 says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Those who do the work, those who are gathered, both will rejoice together. Mm-hmm. He that gathers the harvest and he who is preached to, their souls are converted to Christ. He will not suffer them to go unrewarded. They are ready, there are plenty that are ready to receive, but few people willing to work and bring them in. Just like the parable of the wedding, everyone seems to have something else they need to do. Everyone has some kind of an excuse. Jesus, allow me to do this. Permit me to do that. But if you are on the needy end, Jesus, you got to come right now. Jesus, I need this blessing and I need it now. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Jesus died and rose for all of us. Amen. So we could not live to ourselves and die for nothing. We need help. This help has been provided, and he will continue to provide it until he returns. Verse 16 says, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." Flesh is not what we should be looking at. Christ did not leave us flesh to observe. We were left with his word to observe. Amen. We need the spiritual revelation and not the natural interpretation. We must not see him in the flesh, but by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We know him as the resurrection, ascended, glorified Lord and Savior. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Mm-hmm. By being in Christ, the old things have come to an end. It is vain for a man to profess Christ while he is unchanged in his heart and life. The world calls this a hypocrite. And when you are like this, you cannot harvest anything. He that is in Christ is a genuine Christian, having Christ dwelling in his heart by faith and doing the work of God by faith. His old state is changed and is changing. He was a child of Satan, but now a child of God. He was a slave of sin and his works were death, but now made free from sin. His fruit is unto holiness, and his end is everlasting life. Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Amen. Thank you. We all have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means having the responsibility to reconcile, reestablish, or bring back to God. If you listen to the news, if you spend time with some of your friends and family, You know, many need to be brought back to God, and others just need to be brought to God. Those that are searching need someone to follow. If you do not know what God wants you to do now, if you haven't figured out the gifts you have now, this is one thing you do know. God has called you to reconcile or bring back to God those that don't know him. Mm-hmm. This is done by the life you live. This is done by the words of life that are in you that you can share. Remember the scripture. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Remember, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." This is one of our guidelines or a couple of things that we can look at, recognizing that we are the vessel that can help those that need the help. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, which is also a guideline for us. 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Let me say it like this. Even if I could speak every language in the world and every language in heaven, if I don't have love, everything I say is empty. Mm-hmm. Verse 2 says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Amen. If I had the gifts, all the understanding, all the knowledge, all the faith and ability, and not love, I'm worthless. I'm worthless. Verse 3 says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." If I was the Good Samaritan and did everything to help everybody, everywhere, and sacrificed myself, if I did not have love that comes from God, it would profit me nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what does love do? Charity, which is love, suffereth long and is kind. We like the kind, but we want to overlook the suffereth long. But charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. How many have learned what it means to suffer in love? I didn't say just suffer. I said suffer in love. Well, what does that mean? When you suffer in love, you are still kind to those that are around you. Mm-hmm. And kind to the one that caused you to suffer. You are not envious of those around you. You are not boastful or proud or think you are better or more than those that are around you. Love, according to verse 5, says it does not behave itself unseemly. Mm-hmm. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Mm-hmm. As you labor in love, you do not act out of character. That is out of the character of God that is in Galatians. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Keeping his character, we do not rejoice in what is wrong, but we give thanks and praise God in what is right or truth. Yes. Verse 7 says, "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." This is what love does. In the kingdom, in laboring for Christ, you learn to bear, meaning to hold up, to support, to carry on all things. To believe is to accept. Have confidence and trust in all things that are true. The hope, meaning you have an expectation. Mm-hmm. Your doubt and being negative is cast out and turned into I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Endure, you tolerate. You are able to bear, even though when things are not going as you want them to, you endure what's coming upon you. Mm-hmm. Verse 8 says, charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love does not fail. Amen. Man seems to fall out of love, but God has never fallen out of love with us. The tongue spoken of earlier, the prophecies that are mentioned, they shall fail and cease. The time will come where knowledge shall be no more, but love lives and goes on forever. Amen. Because God is love. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 19. Revelation 2, verse 19 says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Isn't it wonderful? God knows your work. He knows what you're doing. Mm-hmm. He knows what kind of love you got. He knows what kind of service you're giving. He knows what kind of faith you have and what patience that you say you have. God knows all we have done, whether good or bad. He knows what kind of love we have been giving. He knows our patience and our works. We have been called to labor in the harvest of the kingdom. As we come out of this epidemic of external problems, let's not create another epidemic of being absent from Christ. Mm-hmm. Let's rise to the calling of God. Let's take the challenge of the purpose of God. Let us begin to do the work and the will of God. Let's lay hold to eternal life. Yeah. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let's speak as the prophet spoke. Lord, here am I. Send me. Hezekiah Walker wrote a song titled, God Favored Me. Mm. And in this song, he said, love is patient, caring. Love is kind. Love is felt most when it's genuine. Mm-hmm. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed because the favor of God is on my life. He said, this is what your enemies will do. They whispered, conspired. They tell lies. But your character, your integrity, your faith in God will not fall. It will not bend and won't be compromised. Mm-hmm. Don't allow the enemy to turn you around. God called you to be victorious. Mm-hmm. Don't stop serving him or testifying about him. Don't stop being a laborer for the kingdom. Yeah. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. We'll close with this scripture, Matthew 9, 38. And it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.